Chesdemardasra. I know that I was standing here last Mitzvah Shabbos. Some of you were with me. I remember once having the experience of returning to a place 1 week, and then I was called back the next week. And I said, it feels good to be called back. And someone told me, you don't understand. We're going to keep calling you back till you get it right. So it all depends how you look at it. And in the course of this world, the emes is how we look at things, the perception means everything. Two people look at the same thing and they see completely different things. Comes to attention, and many years ago I was parked in front of a Svarim store, just for a minute, in front of a hydrant. You know, they do come from Borough Park. They say anti-Semitic, wherever a Yid wants to park, they always put a fire hydrant anyway. So I ran into the store, into the Svarim store, just for a minute. And on my way out, I already saw one of the Malachi Chavala was standing there next to my car. I tried to talk my way out of it. Said it was too late. Started writing the ticket. I don't know, maybe I'm with Peshaya. I don't know how that works exactly. I look at the ticket. I see, the ticket says 7910 14th Avenue, and this is on 45th Street. So, sure enough, I drive by 7910, and there is no 7910, so I don't think that she was so kind to write the wrong address intentionally just to save my ticket. So I came back to the original place and was trying to scratch my head and figure this out. I said, where did this person get 7910 from? Everyone knows Mishi Yeshle Mayach Bekat Kadai that between 45th and 46th has to be 45 something. So I look at this Svarim store and it occurs to me there's a sign and there's another sign on top of it, an old sign. And engraved in the word in the building is the word Seifer. Now if you think about Seifer in terms of numbers and you read it from left to right, what does it look like? It looks like 7910. So it occurred to me that we can all see things in different light, in this world. And we see one thing, and the Rabbeinu Shalom says, you see one thing, but you have a completely different touch. It's a completely different world. I've always wondered, the Kohen Gadol wore stones, and on the stones were engraved the names of Klal Yisrael. And Reuven had a red stone. Why did Reuven have a red stone? Shteit Medrash, because he was so embarrassed when he mixed up the beds of his mother. And Yaakov Avinu was so angry at him. And Shimon had a green stone. Why was Shimon's stone green? Because he was so terribly paled when he realized the story of Zimri ben Salman. Kehena v'kehena. And it struck me rather strange. We want to have the names of the Shvatim. Wouldn't you say we're trying to honor the Shvatim? We should bring out the good things in their life? Can you imagine a Malav Malka or a guest of honor? We call people together and we bring up the most embarrassing moments of their life. And that's the simen on the Choshen forever after. That's Ma'oyre Rachmei Shemayim. How do we understand this? The Rambam says that there are 8 different levels of tzedakah. The most important level of tzedakah is not tzedakah at all. If you can take someone and get him a job, make him think you need a business partner and you take him in, that's the highest level of tzedakah. Pachas mezeh, says the Rambam, a lesser level of tzedakah, is if you're giving tzedakah in such a way where the giver doesn't know who the taker doesn't know who the giver is. Less than that is the giver knows, the taker doesn't know. Less than that is the taker knows, the giver doesn't know who he's giving it to. And finally the Rambam says, and a pachas mizeh, a lesser madrega of tzedakah, is if you give him, you know who he is, he knows who you are, you can't avoid the embarrassment. But at least you give it to him before he asks for it. Kaidim shashal, says the Rambam. And a lesser madrega of tzedakah is if you give it to him after he asks for it. Now, l'chayim, this is a pliya tzum. If you give it to him after he asks for it, I mean, obviously, you're supposed to give it to him before he asks for it. So the next madrega is give it to him after he asks for it. Why does the Rambam make a separate level for giving it to him before he asks for it and giving it to him after he asks for it. I never understood this Rambam until certain things happened in my life that began to make sense. And you'll wonder what the connection is. They say there was a real frum person, real frum person, came a tonus of yoinim. He wanted to be a kind of mitzvah, but tonus of yoinim the way he should. But it has to be an evyon. The evyon means ta'av l'chal davar. He's so poor. Baruch Hashem, today it's hard to find someone who doesn't have his next meal. So he runs into the Beis HaMedrash. He says, Baruch Hashem, I was mekayem the mitzvah matanis liyavonim this year. I found a family that lives in a cave. They have no clothes. They cover themselves with blankets. It's freezing over there. They can't even walk out. They have no shoes. And I gave them money for Purim and a Sudas Purim. I feel so good. And one person comes running over. He says, Gevalt, where's this family? We'll get them time cheshavas. We'll get them a job. We'll get them an apartment. Tell us who they are. He says, I can't tell you. Why not? I need them for next year. Right? I need the Avyayinim for next year. I remember once, a true story, hospitals have this thing that, I don't know why, but I guess it must be part of medical, it must be written up in the New England Journal of Medicine, that if you want a patient to get well, make sure he doesn't sleep for more than an hour straight. Because in hospitals, they always come in every hour to wake you up. 1 hour to take your blood pressure, and they usually wait for the person to fall asleep, then they come in to take his temperature, wait for the person to fall asleep, then to come in to check out something on his insurance form. That's usually how it works. So I remember I was with my mother, Alea Shalom, and she had such a hard time falling asleep. She finally fell asleep. They came in to take her temperature. They came in to take her blood pressure. She finally falls asleep again. A nurse comes in to give her a pill. I said to her, please don't wake her up. I have to give her a pill. I says, please, you know, it's after visiting hours. You don't belong here anyway. I have this whole argument with her. Finally, I'm walking out. I have no choice. And I said, can you tell me, what is that pill that's so important? She says, it's a sleeping pill. She's waking her up to give it a sleeping pill. In the course of tzedakah, the way we look at things, there are a lot of people that give tzedakah for themselves, not for someone else. Do you know why the Rambam makes two separate madrigas, two separate levels, that you ask him for tzedakah, koidim shesha'al, and la'achar shesha'al? It's very simple. Imagine a person that says, I'm going to be a big tzaddik. I'm going to be mekayim tzedakah before he asks for it, to satisfy the higher level of tzedakah according to the Rambam. Ah, there looks like the perfect person who's hungry. He's running toward me, and I'm running toward him. And he looks at me and says, please, I'm so hungry, can you give me some food? And I say, you blew it! I wanted to give it to you before you asked for it. It's a lesser level of tzedakah after you ask for it. He said, well, can you give me food? No, I'm not. I'm going to find someone who can give it to before I ask for it. So I run to look for someone else. Sakta Rambam, no. Give it to him before he asks for it. But if you have to give it to him, then give it to him after he asks for it. Now many ask, we all know the Yisoid of Malin B'Kodesh. We always start with the lower level and we go higher, better and better. Why, when the Rambam defines tzedakah, which essentially defines the mahus of a person, does the Rambam start with the highest level of tzedakah? And then he says, and less than that, and less than that, and less than that is, the Teretz says the Rambam is teaching us something. That in life, if it's pachas mizeh, if you don't have what you want in your ruchnius or in your gashmius, then do what you are, who you are at that moment. I can tell you over the years how I assess personalities of children. But I've had more than once a kid, if he doesn't get 100 on a test, he hands in a blank paper. He will refuse to get a 90 or an 80. One of the great chesroinos in life is, whether it's ruchnius or gashmius, if we can't accept less than what it is. The Rambam says, the Rebbeinu Shalom appreciates who you are at a given moment. Pachas mezeh. If your level of tzedakah now is the least level, don't get frustrated. Do it. If your level of davening is on the least level, do it. If your level of learning is on the least level, just do it. Rabbi Akiva says, Asay Shabbat Chachol, Yaltet Star Chabrias. One Shabbos I go into Milmont and I order Kishka and Pichai, and of course all Hashem Shemayim. The Heilige Mitzvah of Einik Shabbos, and the next Shabbos I'm broke. And I walk in, and Rabbi Akiva says, order nothing. Don't go asking people for money. Asay Shabbat Chachol, Yaltet Star Chabrias. Zach the Gemara Em Sachim, Tana de Veilio, but wait a second. One thing you should have for Shabbos, Kisa de Harsana. Take a little fish. They used to like preglin as a klein fish, take a little fried fish and eat it lakavit Shabbos. It's a strange kind of a Gemara. Tana Devei Eliyahu is what Eliyahu teaches us. Eliyahu teaches us what Rabbi Akiva means. A little strange. Chronologically, it's a little strange. And then the Gemara says, you got to be happy sometimes with a little piece of fish. V'haraya, Yehuda ben Tema Omer, the famous Mishnah that we all hang up in our sukkah. Kal Kanesher, Rotz Kitzvi, Gibber Kwari, Az Kanemer. Where does that come in? What's the connection over here? We all know the story of Rabbi Akiva. Many of us recently learned it in Daf Yomi. The daughter of Rabbi Akiva comes over to Rabbi Akiva. What does she see in him? People make a mistake. People say she saw in him a potential gadol. She saw in him, he's going to be in the centerfold of the Mayatzes. He's going to be in the centerfold of the Medea. I'm going to be famous. Let me invest in this guy. No, no. It's not what she saw. You know what she saw in Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says? She saw two things. Tznia Umali. He didn't need to get big press. Was Tznia Umali. And he was happy to take the matzav that he was in at that moment and work with it. And she said, this is what the Rebbeinu Shlalem wants. I'm going to marry him. Despite the fact that her father, the richest man in all of Yerushalayim, made a vow to disown her. So she says, okay, Rebbe Akiva, now go learn. So he goes to learn Aleph Beis. And it's very hard for a 40-year-old man to walk into a pre-1A class with Morech Avi and comes home with arts and crafts and he can't get out of the seat when he gets into it. He says, I'm embarrassed. I can't go back there. Please. His wife said, you promised. You got to go back. Please don't make me go back to a pre-1A class. I'm 40 years old. He says to her, says the others to Rav Nassan, on one condition, she says to him, I'll let you off. You don't have to go back. But you got to do one thing for me, okay? Take a donkey, fill it up with carrots. The whole donkey should be loaded with carrots. Fill up your whole head with carrot leaves. The ears of the donkey, carrots should be sticking out of it. And march around the town. I don't know why you're making me do this, but if you want me to do it, I'll do it. And Rabbi Akiva does it. He marches around town. He comes back, he says, I am the laughingstock of this town. I mean, every kid in town is rolling on the floor laughing. Then no one is talking about anything else. Wherever I walk now, they're going to be laughing at me. She says, go back to the pre-1A class. But I told you, I'm embarrassed. But you're embarrassed anyway. Wherever you go, they're going to laugh at you anyway, so you may as well go back to the pre-1A class. What does that mean? Most people, when they're insulted or embarrassed, they say, forget it! Close the book and I'm out of here! But she knew Rabbi Akiva. If things don't go the way you want, and he's embarrassed, he's an opportunist, he says, I'll deal with the situation and take advantage of my matzav. She knew the way her husband thinks, that's why she married her. If I'm embarrassed and I'm hurt, no problem. So I can go back to the pre-1A class anyway. And he goes away. And after 12 years, he comes back with 12,000 Talmidim. He's about to knock at the door. And the Gemara says, a neighbor says to her wife, look what you've gone through. You've gone through Gehenna. Look what you've gone through. And the Gemara calls her a Rasha. The Gemara calls a Rasha someone very quickly. She says, you're so naive. You haven't seen your husband in 12 years. What do you think he is? He's learning in a mirror. He's in some casino in Las Vegas living it up. And you're sitting in poverty. A living widow. She says, I want to tell you something. If he wants to go away for another 12 years, I'm asking him. I have no problem. He doesn't knock on the door. He turns around and he leaves. Come on. He couldn't knock on the door. Come in for a coffee. So some say he was scared he wouldn't leave. The famous Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, twice 12 is not 24. But I once heard this part. This neighbor, this was the Yetzirah at his best. The strongest koyach the Yetzirah has against us. And he sends so many kids out to the street with this. And he destroys our avodah and amunahs when he comes to us with this taina. You're a failure in ruchnius and gashmius. I know what's going on in your mind. I know what your eyes are looking at. Your davening isn't worth anything. You may as well live it up. And when a yid has a koyach to say, no, Yetzirah, you're right. I looked at the wrong things. I think the wrong things. I did the wrong things. I blew it. Opportunity after opportunity. Pachas mezeb. But I'm going to give tzedakah on the matzav that I am. When a yid says to the Yetzirah, I'm going to do what I can, given who I am at this moment, he's finished. When Rabbi Akiva heard those words, he said, I have to take that Mesiras Nefesh. That's going to turn me into Rabbi Akiva. When they were wallowing in poverty, so the Gemara says they had no mattresses to sleep on. In the morning, he took the straw out of her hair. She took the straw out of his hair. And he promised her a Yerushalayim d'dehava, a tachshit of Yerushalayim. I'm going to put it on your head one day, a beautiful golden ornament of Yerushalayim. And there's a knock on the door. And a man says, Ancholix, my wife had a baby. We don't even have any straw. Here, sure, take some straw. And the Gemara says, you know who that was? It was Eliyahu HaNavi. They came to be mechazik them. Guess what? The people who have less than you. Zakta Maral. Rabbi Akiva turns to his wife and he sees she's about to get depressed. Because no one is perfect. The couples have to balance each other out. Sometimes she needed his chizik, sometimes he needed her chizik. He says to her, one day, I'm going to put a golden Yerushalayim on your head. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Yerushalayim is in ruins. And Hashem puts up with it. He still loves us. So shouldn't we put up with matzav that we're in? When a yid thinks that way, says the Maral, you're zoichet to Gili Eliyahu. When you're at the point of despair, and you say it's useless, there's nothing is going to happen in my life to straighten me out. I blew it. I made such stupid mistakes. But you know what, Hashem? I'll serve you from where I am now. I'll daven with the neshama that I have now. I'll learn with the kayach that I have now. You're zoichet to Gili Eliyahu. Zak the Maral, Eliyahu doesn't necessarily mean there's a knock on your door. Hi, I'm Eliyahu. Shalom Aleichem, let's learn. That's not what it means. You're worried about something, you're tossing and turning in bed, and suddenly you say, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. Shoo, Baruch Hashem. What just happened? Zak the Maral, there is a pchina that Eliyahu Anavi comes to your neshama. And when you have this attitude, I'm not going to give up, then you're Zaycha. You're Zaycha to Eliyahu Anavi. Rabbi Akiva says, if you have no choice, don't buy. Don't buy kugel for Shabbos. Then buy what you can. Come to Leo Hanavi and says, I know Rabbi Akiva. I'm an expert on Rabbi Akiva. But Kisa de Harsana. Rabbi Akiva doesn't mean, I give up. That's it. I can't even have kugel for Shabbos. I may as well not have a Shabbos. No. Your avoidance now is to take what you have. Take that piece of fish and run with it. And dance around the table with it. And be happy with this kisa d'harsana. And that's why we quote afterwards the mission of Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Hava'az Kenemer. Now a leopard has a lot of chutzpah. A leopard's on a tree, he'll jump and attack anybody. It never happened in the history of leopards that a leopard said, you know what, I'm depressed. I'm not jumping today. An eagle soars high. An eagle never said, you know what, the other guy does it better than me. My wife insulted me. Forget it. I'm not flying today. These animals go with their natural instinct. A yid has to say, I go with who I am. I fly from where I am. And that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam appreciates. And Rabbi Akiva teaches us, you dance and you sing Kol Mekadesh and you have a Simcha Shabbos with Kisa D'Harsana. That's your Nisayan. And if you blew all levels of tzedakah, you serve Hashem from where who you are. So Rabbi Akiva comes back with 24,000 Talmidim and she's wearing ripped rags. And she comes out and they say, hey, you can't go to the tzaddik that way. She says, don't worry. Yodeya tzaddik nefesh behemtai. The tzaddik knows the nefesh of his behema. I mean, it's a kind of rough way of describing it. She couldn't think of a different pasuk. Yodeya tzaddik nefesh behemtai. So some say it's a mistake. It should say yodeya tzaddik nefesh dal. But many say, no, this is the gersa. What was her father's name? Ben Kaldasvur. What does Ben Kaldasvur mean? Satiated dog. Well, what a name. Oh, says the Gemara. No, we mean a lishvach. Whoever came to his house left full like a dog. Very nice. Couldn't think of another way of describing it. Calling the person, here comes the famous satiated dog. Could you imagine by a dinner? And now here he is, the biggest dog of them all, the biggest. How could you talk that way? There had to be another way to describe him. The reason he was called Ben Kaldasvur was to emphasize a point. A dog is loyal to his master. The master embarrasses him, kicks him, spits him in his face. He's still loyal to his master. It's an instinct. Ben Kaldasvur had this need that whoever came to his house, the guy spit in his face, he gave him food. There was no such a thing as, I blew it anyway, and no one appreciates this anyway, and I give up. He kept on going forward. And that's why he was ultimately zaychet to Rabbi Akiva, who had exactly the same need. Let me tell you something. In the course of life, this is really where it is. Those that succeed in life, those that succeed, bein adam l'chaveiro, bein adam l'makom, is because they get through this threshold. There is no human being in the world that doesn't have the neighbor of Rachel coming in and saying, you blew it, and you lost both worlds. And if at that moment you say, so fine, I blew it, then I'll continue serving Hashem from who I am. Then God appreciates me for who I am at this moment. If you do it then you have 24,000 talmidim. So Ben Kaldasvur calls in, comes to this new tzaddik, he says, you know, I'm really in trouble. I made a neder, and my daughter is starving for hunger, and her husband's gone. We don't know where he is. So Rabbi Akiva says, not knowing it was his son-in-law, why can't you go to some of the rabbis? They should annul your vow. There should be a matir neder. I said, I need a Pesach. I need a Pesach. You have to have a... I only made the neder with a tuss. I didn't know. So Rabbi Akiva said to him, tell me something. If your son-in-law would have known Perik Mishnayis, would you have been my... If my son-in-law would have known a Pasuk Chumash, I would have never made the neder. You know, they say there was a guy, he wanted to marry off his daughter. He did not have the right hashkafas. Shafchan introduces him to a young man. He says to the young man, well, let me hear of shekel. The father of the young man says to the father of the kala, listen, I'll pay for both sides of the wedding. Don't ask him for a shekel. Okay. He says, maybe I can hear a black gemara from you. Guy goes, ta! He goes, listen, I'll pay for your wife's clothes by the wedding, okay? Don't ask him for a black gemara. Okay. Finally, he says, maybe it's a mishnah. Ta! He goes, listen, I'll buy a couple of houses. Don't ask him for a mishnah. Right? He says, maybe a pasuk chumash. He says, listen, I'll pay for the clothes of all your kids, okay? All right, mazel tov. Then this father of the kala goes, what did I do? What did I do? They said, I realized you sold your daughter for money. That's why you're crying. He says, that's not why I'm crying. He says, what are you crying? He says, I should have asked him to tell me alufays. I would have gotten who knows how much more. I didn't think of that. He says to him, you know something? He says, if my son would have known anything, I would have made the neder. Oh, that's a good Pesach. Guess who your son-in-law is? My son-in-law, biggest Amoritz in the world! Guess who your son-in-law is? Me. Oh, Rebbe, hi. Mutulach, mutulach, mutulach. Frank Taisve says, whoa, hold it. There's a din, ein paischen benoilad. Ein paischen benoilad means like this. Let's say I make a neder. I will not use this shtender. This is for illustrative purposes only. I make a net. The shtender is also on me. I got to take my mishnayos off. I got to take off my net. Said I can't use the shtender. If I want to go to a rav to be matir neder, he has to come and say, it was a mistake. Did you know that this shtender was used by the rav to give his shear? No, I didn't know what a chashav shtender was. It was a mistake. Mutulach, mutulach, mutulach. But let's say I make a neder. I'm not going to use this shtender. And 2 weeks from now, a rav comes in and uses it. And I say, oh, I didn't know a rav's going to come in and use it. Can you be matir neder? No. Because at the time that I made the neder, it was still an ordinary shtender. In order for a Pesach to be effective, it has to be retroactively at the time of the neder. Frek Toysvis, Rebbe Akiva was an Amoritz. He was an Amoritz at the time of the neder. The fact that he became a Talmud Chacham later, what is the basis for the Pesach? So Toysvis, famous Toysvis in Ksubis. If a person is determined not to give up, he's already a Talmud Chacham. It's a done deal. It wasn't something that happened later. If you have the character of Rabbi Akiva, spit me in the face, laugh at me. So that opens up new opportunities. Now I can go to Pre 1A because you're going to laugh at me anyway. If that's your attitude in life, you're already a tzaddik. It's not something new. I want to conclude with the following story. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld was once walking and he saw a commotion. What was the commotion? Family in Yerushalayim, the mother was very sick. It's time to go, first day of school. Little boy comes down, he's dragging this Yerushalmi, his sister, by the pigtails, like flying her like a kite. He throws her into the gan, first day of school. All the other mothers are coming with their little kids, here's Ashefala, and they're standing behind the tree waiting. If they hear a sneeze, they come running. Is everything okay? And her brother tosses her in and she's crying. And the Moritz, they know what the situation is in this house. They know the situation is difficult. Okay, what can you do? She comes home, she's sitting on the steps, she's crying. I'm not going back to school anymore. Only if Ima takes me. But Ima is sick and bad. And the great tzaddik of Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld passes by and he sees the girl crying and he says to her, Biti, my daughter, what's the matter? He says, I'm not going anymore to Gan. Not my mama netmach. Only if my mother takes me. So Yosef Chaim says, I give you a bracha, your mother should take you to your chuppah. He didn't know what that, she didn't know what that meant. Is there some kind of kindergarten called chuppah? I don't need no that bracha. I need my bracha and my mother to take me to the gan tomorrow. When she got older, she understood what that bracha meant. She's 17 years old in Yerushalayim. That's high time. She refuses all shidduchim. Passels everything. His nose is too long. His nose is too short. Too much money. Too little money. Too big ears. Too little ears. Too much yichas. Too little yichas. Shvigar too nosy. Everything. She passels everything. Her father says, you have a sick mother and you have kids behind you that aren't well. I mean, your mother's not well. You have a bunch of siblings behind you. What are you doing? She says, let my siblings get married before me. Almost unheard of in Yerushalayim. All of her siblings get married, all seven of them, including the brother that flew her like a kite. She's now 27 years old, which is old in Yerushalayim. And she gets married. She has to settle on a shidduch. And after the Sheva Brachas, her mother passes away. And she throws herself down to the Arlin. She says, Mama, she says, I had a bracha, you should take me to the chuppah. I wanted my brothers and sisters to have the bracha also. And that's why I waited. This koyach, to take a difficult situation, to take a painful situation, an embarrassing situation, and to turn it around, and to use it. This is only if you're in the right environment. It's only if you're in a Beis Medrash, and it's only if you have a Rav, and it's only if you have friends. Two people can spend their lives doing chesed, but one is really doing chesed for himself. And the other, because he belongs to the right place, is doing chesed for others, for the Rabbi Nishalevan, and for all of Klal Yisrael.